closing out?
Yeah, I think so. My name is David Wolford. I'm here with Mr. Gladman Humbles in Paducah, Kentucky. Today is the 14th of August, 2002. We're going to talk a little bit about Paducah's segregated Paducah and the desegregation of schools here. Mr. Humbles, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you were, where and when you were born, and where you grew up.
My name is Gladman Humbles. I was really born in Kansas City, Missouri, but I came here as an infant. And you might say Paducah's been my home all my life, except for my time in the service and off at college in Omaha, Nebraska. So I've been here practically all of my life.
Mr. Humbles, tell me where you went to school in your earliest years in Paducah.
I went to Lincoln Elementary School as a child, and then I went on to Lincoln Junior High and High School. It was called Lincoln. There were separate buildings. There was an elementary building, and then there was a big building where the junior high and the high school students were.
And where were those buildings?
They were located. It took about a half a block, really over a half a block, because they had a gym there at one time. Between Ohio Street and Tennessee Street, and bounded by South 8th Street and South 9th Street.
Okay. Before we get into the Lincoln schools, what other black schools existed in the Paducah City?
Well, there was Garfield School was a Northside school, and as far as big schools, then they had a school in the south side of town. I can't think of the name of it. But Garfield is the only other public school that I know of some stature.
Were there black schools out in the county, in McCracken County, grade centers? Or?
I don't think there were very many, because a lot of the black children in the county, they had to come to school at Lincoln, some of them did, but they did have, I think they had some elementary schools in the county, which I can't recall exactly where they were. It's been a long time ago.
Sure. In
high school, though, they came to Paducah.
Because Lincoln High School, was that the only black high school in the county, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. Did it also serve black students from surrounding counties, Lincoln High School?
I'm not quite sure of that, because I would say some surrounding counties more than likely it would, because some of the counties are close by. But I don't know of any. Now, Mayfield, of course, had their own high school, and that's, I guess, about the closest larger place. But I'm not. I would say that some counties close by McCracken County that Lincoln did serve, because I think they were bust in.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall any students being from other counties?
Well, you're taking me back a long time.
Yeah.
I recall some students that did come from other counties or came from outlying area. But I can't name them
sure to
you at present. But I do recall students coming in from quite a distance.
Okay. Could you describe the buildings of Lincoln High School a little bit more? What was the physical situation with the buildings? What kind of condition were these buildings in?
Well, if you talk about the structure, the physical structure of Lincoln School, Lincoln School was one of the most outstanding schools for blacks in the entire state, with perhaps the exception of Louisville. The school was built, and it was quite a bit of money appropriated for it. I don't have the exact amount, but it was back in the days when it was built, it wasn't a whole lot under the white school. The cost. and the building, if we're talking about the building itself, the building was a fine, outstanding building, had two great big white columns, four I think, big white columns on the front of it, a big massive entranceway, and it was a good solid structure and a fine building. The gym wasn't very much. It was located right on the southeast corner of 9th and Ohio Streets. And it was just an old dilapidated building. In fact, when everybody got up and cheered, you could hear the floor shake. And so that was torn down eventually, and a new gymnasium was built. And it was a first-class building, too. But the problem wasn't necessarily the building. The problem was what we had in the building. I remember, for example, in the chemistry class, we had one Bunsen burner, and we had a little litmus paper test, and we didn't have any adequate supplies or teaching aids that the white school had. Because when I went off to college, I had to really work hard to get a C out of chemistry, because I'd never been exposed to what I was taught there. It was kind of like a breeze at Lincoln. But the building itself, the physical structure, was a magnificent piece of work.
Was it fairly new when you were there? You graduated in 1948, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct. The school was built, I believe, it was built in the late 20s. I'm not sure of that. But it was, I'll put it like this, it was in fine condition. It wasn't new, but it was in very good condition.
And does any of the old Lincoln campus still stand?
No, it's just a barren ground now. There was a big controversy over that. It was bought by three entrepreneurs, and they couldn't find anything to do with it. And then I think one bought the other two out, and it wound up just deteriorating. There was a big controversy here a few years ago to try to get on the historical register, but it didn't work. And as a result, it was demolished completely.
What about the, you talked about the science department being poorly equipped. What about other materials, in the way of textbooks or desks or sports equipment? What kind of things did you have there?
Well, the textbooks I feel were adequate. The classrooms were adequate. We had, of course, classrooms are different now, but we had probably the same type of seating that the white schools had. I don't know, I didn't go to the white schools to find out. We had the desks where you sit on a hard seat, of course, and you had an armrest for your writing and so forth. Standardized school desk. But I'm glad you mentioned the athletic department. Now, there was a vast difference in that. We had a sports department, I guess, that was totally and entirely different than Tillman School. The difference being, we played in togs for games that Tillman used for practice togs. They would hand the togs down, a truck would come over to Lincoln School, and they would drop all these old Tillman's practice togs off, and these are the togs that Lincoln would play in, play games in. So it boiled down to, and then we never had an adequate field to play in. We couldn't play on Tillman's field, so we went to out here to a place called Hooks Park, and Hooks Park evolved into a cow pasture. And I remember they would let some of the students out of school. We had to scoop the manure up off the field to play football and line the field off and the yard lines and so forth. And people didn't even have bleachers at that time. We had to stand up, and it was the sports department was really a, there was a a huge inequity.
Now, these games you're talking about in that field, were those the official games, like you're competing against schools?
Right, exactly.
What were some of the other schools you competed against?
Oh, we competed with it just about, except for Louisville, we even competed with St. Louis. I remember one time. I remember us going to St. Louis. Oh, another thing, we didn't have a bus to take the athletes in. We had to pile up like 10 to a car, just like sardines in a can. And of course, the players were tired when they got there. But we played Princeton, we played Mayfield, Princeton. We played Mary, we played Mayfield, we played...
Did you play Riverview High in Hickman?
Probably so, yes, we played them. We played practically most every black high school in this western part of Kentucky, and we didn't go like to Elizabethtown. We played Bowling Green, we played... Providence, played all those towns in the western part of the state, but we didn't go, I don't think we went beyond Bowling Green. We didn't play Elizabethtown or anyone like that.
And I'm guessing that you never, sports were entirely segregated during your day, weren't they, the athletics?
Totally and entirely segregated. Lincoln managed to win, no one even knows what happened to the trophy case. It's almost atrocious that the trophies got away. Lincoln at one time, with all the horrendous conditions we played under, they had outstanding performers. We didn't have the stuff to play with, but they did it anyway. And we had a huge trophy case, and all of those trophies disappeared. How, I don't know. No one seems to know. The school doors were just closed, and I don't know whether someone got the trophies or what happened. No one seems to know. That's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the teachers at Lincoln Schools. You know, what kind of qualifications do the teachers have? How would you describe your education at Lincoln High School?
Well, that's a real sensitive type question, and I want to be careful in answering. And I want to be honest, too. I think some of the teachers were hard, dedicated type. And incidentally, they made less money than the white teachers. The salaries were different. Some of the teachers, which I look back upon at the time and didn't like, were hard, dedicated, working people to try to impart whatever knowledge they could to prepare you to get out and make it in the world. I think some of them had an attitude that, well, I've got mine, you get yours the best way you can. I guess the best way to sum it up is, like any other school, Lincoln had good teachers and bad teachers. I don't want to go into the name calling because that wouldn't be appropriate to do. But I think the way I can say it, if you really, really wanted an education and you were really determined to try to improve your lot in life, you'd have to do a lot of it yourself. The teachers were there for you. But like I say, I'm not casting any aspersions on the teaching staff, but they didn't have the equipment like the science class. I went to Creighton University, and there was a chemistry teacher named Ballman. He started writing equations on the blackboard, and I thought it was some type of foreign language. and you know, I looked at a guy that was from Kansas, he was sitting next to me, and we looked at each other, and we'd never seen anything like this before. And the white kids, they were just, he said, I'm refreshing your high school chemistry and want you to work these problems. We turned up, we couldn't work any of them. So I'm just saying that we were ill-prepared in one sense, but those that applied themselves and really wanted it to get an education, I think some of them are better off than some of the kids coming out of integrated schools today. Because I look back on my class, and while we didn't have any, what you might say, people to make the national news, there is not anyone in our class that didn't have a fairly decent job or have some good stable life or do some good in the community or something. That was back in the 1940s. And every one of them, you know, I'm not saying that they grabbed stars or anything, but they worked. They were left here, they worked at automobile plants, some of them went to Louisville and got good jobs in the cigarette plants there. They just all were good, stable, hard-working citizens for the most part. And I don't think you can say that of even the whole class of finishers today. A lot of them just fall by the wayside.
Now, you've said before, I've read where you've stated that, you know, Paducah was a pretty segregated town in terms of getting going into a restaurant or other public accommodations in the 40s. But during that time, you know, before integration became legal or required, you know, what was the relationship between blacks and whites in Paducah?
Well, that's a very good question you asked, because Paducah has seemed like a town that didn't know which way it wanted to go. It, for the most part, it didn't want to integrate, but the segregation wasn't as rigid as it was in the deeper South. For example, we've always sat on the bus anywhere we wanted to on a basis of availability seating. We didn't have to go to the back, that's on the local bus. There was one lawsuit that did occur on the interstate bus, on the Greyhound. A woman won a few $1,000s because the bus driver manhandled her and made her get to the back when they crossed the Brookport Bridge coming from Illinois. And they only had a short way to go. She didn't move back, and I think he put her off the bus or something, and she won maybe a $10,000 suit. But inside of the city, when you boarded the bus, you just simply sat where you wanted to sit. And it was a strange pattern of segregation. Back when they had the dime stores and they were busy, Cresties and all, now you could stand up and eat hot dogs and hamburgers at a lunch counter, where that's about all they served at that counter, but they had a more varied menu at the sit-down counter. But you couldn't sit down. Well, you were in closer proximity to whites standing up, because the counter was just like a horseshoe counter.